Hello and welcome to Command Tab. This is TD Curran's podcast all about Apple, coming at you from Kirkland, Washington. Right now we're actually in Seattle, Washington.
Yeah, that's true. Hey guys, I'm George, and we have a guest this week.
Hello.
What's your name?
My name is Austin.
Not to be confused with
the other Austin.
The other Austin. Yeah.
Two of us. Gets complicated.
Now, you actually work with us at Kirkland.
That's right.
In the Kirkland location, but also at Issaquah as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is confusing.
Well, I guess we brought you on this week because your phone is jailbroken.
That's right.
Yes, yeah. It is.
It's the cool phone, I guess.
It's the one that all our phones strive to be.
Yeah, those betas, they don't let us do that, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, for people that don't know, Austin, what is jailbreaking?
Yeah, so jailbreaking, essentially, I kind of stole this from online, but it allows you to run unsigned code and access files on your iOS device that Apple doesn't normally let you access. So one of the biggest misconceptions about jailbreaking is kind of the difference between jailbreaking and unlocking. So a lot of people think that jailbreaking is where you can use your phone on any carrier, but that's actually the process known as unlocking, whereas jailbreaking merely allows you to install software that Apple normally doesn't let you install.
Right. Jailbreaking was huge before the App Store was out.
Right, yeah.
Like, was it pre-iOS 3 or mm-hmm. something? And I remember when that jailbreak first happened and I was able to actually load a game onto my iPod Touch back in high school.
Oh my
gosh. And everybody was like, whoa, you can actually play games on this thing? It's crazy.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the jailbreaking apps that people release on Cydia or features that get hacked, Apple kind of takes a bit from that. And then they take those really cool features that people seem to really like and then they implement it later on. So it's kind of an idea, like a brainstorming
mm-hmm.
Way of doing things. Like I remember the notification center when I got it on my iPod back in the day. It worked okay, but as soon as iOS 5 came out with the new notification center, it worked a lot better.
Yeah.
Just because Apple kind of took that idea and then made it work the Apple way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just as an overview, I guess, so he mentioned Cydia. Cydia is everything about jailbreaking. What jailbreak does is just install Cydia on your device. And Cydia is kind of like a third-party app store in a way, but it's way more than just apps. It allows you to install tweaks and themes as well, which tweaks are kind of like small modifications to the operating system. Like you can, there's one called 5-icon dock where it just lets you have 5 icons in your dock.
Instead of 4.
Yeah. Exactly. just lots of little UI enhancements and things that normally you can't do. There's themes, so you can customize all your icons and make them whatever you want. You just have kind of ultimate control over your phone. And Cydia lets you install packages from developers that either weren't allowed in the App Store or kind of just something that Apple doesn't let you modify on your own.
Mm-hmm. So, like, give me some examples. Like, what do you have installed on your phone?
Yeah, sure. So the biggest one is Winterboard. And
right, yeah.
Winterboard is actually the main theming application for the iPhone. So it allows you to install themes that are made by designers and developers. And they end up looking really cool. I mean, you know,
that's a play on the word springboard, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So the springboard is the kind of
springboard is the kind of the name for the home screen. So winterboard is the way to theme it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Theme that. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you find someone with a jailbroken phone, you might notice that oftentimes their icons will be a lot different from the stock iOS 7 icons. And hopefully they'll look cooler. Sometimes maybe, I don't know. There's a couple
some pretty bad ones out there.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a Windows 95 theme that completely overhauled the thing to look like Windows 95.
I did that with Mac OS. Installed a theme on my phone back in the day, and
to make it look
just like Mac OS.
For sure. Yeah, there's some pretty cool ones out there.
Yeah, and then there's also apps that Apple, for whatever reason, doesn't allow in the App Store on Cydia. So, I mean, I can't even really think of any great examples, but Apple really curates its App Store well. And they have really explicit rules about what can and can't be allowed, even little minor things.
I mean, there was like, there was a, I know there's a BitTorrent client, which they don't allow on the App Store. Things like before when the Bitcoin apps were being banned, they just lifted that ban recently because it was kind of a gray area whether Bitcoin was legal or not across all the countries that the App Store serves. But those apps would live on the Cydia. Things like that. And with Cydia, you download like repositories, right?
Right, yeah. So anyone can really submit packages to Cydia. So in a way, this makes it less secure. So you really have to kind of be careful and know what you're installing. Usually before I install Tweak, I do a little bit of research online. There's a couple communities of jailbreakers online that, that are kind of like, oh yeah, I tested this. This works. I promise there's no malware or anything like that in it, but it definitely makes your phone susceptible to stuff like that.
Right.
So you really have to be careful, but it does open a whole new world of customization.
Have you ever had your phone jailbroken?
Yeah,
George.
Back when I got my first iPod Touch, I jailbroke it the day I got it, and there was a lot of things like the folders way before they actually made folder icons to
like on your home screen apps.
Yeah, on your home screen. You know, winter board was a really big one. Doing like little like short clip as your background image or background images in general back when it was just black.
Right. That's right, I remember that was crazy.
Yeah. And I always jailbroke as soon as it was made available for the new version of iOS.
Yeah, that's one thing
up until
too.
I had the iPhone 5.
Yeah, that the Apple likes to play catch up with the jailbreak tweaks and hacks and holes, and tries to fill those holes as securely as possible. Because Apple does not like this jailbreak community.
Right.
They don't like people messing with their user experience.
Yeah, and they actually were only able to get Congress to outlaw jailbreaking iPads as an actual like law. The iPhone and iPod touches are actually still in. Apple's still trying to fight that.
Legally, the U.S. passed a law in 2010, actually, that completely legalized jailbreaking. So that, I mean, and now they're in the process of doing one for unlocking. But yeah, jailbreaking now is completely legal. The only thing about it is really that technically they can still say it voids the warranty of your device.
However, that is kind of an easy fix by
by
just removing the jailbreak or just restoring the phone.
Yeah, if you restore the phone with iTunes, there's no way to ever tell a jailbreak was there. Rarely, if ever, I don't think I've ever heard recently of a jailbreak ruining someone's phone. Like sometimes in the beginning, you could really hurt your phone.
It would brick your phone. Yeah. It would just turn into this piece of metal that you couldn't do anything
with.
Exactly. Yeah.
But now it's I haven't heard a single case of someone saying, yeah, I jailbroke my phone and now it's unusable. It's all, they really have it figured out. They got it down to a science. And yeah, going back to what George was saying about Apple kind of playing this cat and mouse game, Apple actually credits some of the jailbreak community with finding security loopholes and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, in their release notes. Yeah.
Well, and other things too, like you were mentioning earlier that, you know, Apple kind of takes features that these tweaks come up with. Like for example, the iTunes Wi-Fi sync feature, that was a jailbreak tweak before before that Apple actually implemented that. And I think they actually hired the guy that built it.
They did, yeah. I remember reading about that.
And just implemented his exact code.
Even bigger than that, Control Center. Control Center used to be a... Yeah, there used to be a jailbreak tweak called NC Settings, where if you pulled down your notification center, you could access all kinds of toggles, like Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, all the stuff you see in Control Center. You could have a music widget, just like in Control Center now. And Apple basically took all that, and I think they did a way better job of it than the jailbreak community did. But yeah, that was another feature that was definitely there before. And then especially iOS 8 is really leaning towards being more...
customizable.
Yeah, customizable with the third-party keyboards and things like that.
And extensions.
You used to have to jailbreak to get.
Right.
Touch ID, there was actually an app or a tweak made so that you could actually log all of those passwords. And now Apple's kind of taking from that and... you know, making it so all your accounts can be saved through Touch ID.
That's one of my favorite features of my personal jailbreak is there's one tweak that allows me to basically, with the press of a button, I can lock all my apps, or at least some of my apps, so kind of the more personal ones, with a Touch ID lock on it. So if I hand my phone to someone, I can quickly turn this feature on. It's in Control Center. I have it all customized. I can just hit one button, and what happens is the apps I choose beforehand, so like Facebook, my messages, things like that, mm-hmm. that I wouldn't really want someone kind of peeking through, instantly when you tap on that on the home screen, a little pop-up comes up and says, please scan your finger on the Touch ID sensor to open this application. And so yeah, it's really cool.
The thing about the jailbreak community and just kind of all the features that you can get from Cydia, I found is that you really got to know your stuff. Because there's a lot of stuff that sort of is built to integrate with each other, but they don't really say that in any way. You know, whereas on the App Store, they're highly advertised to be cross-compatible and talking to each other and stuff. But things, there's do you have any examples of that?
Yeah, as far as compatibility, I know once the 7.1.2 update came out, they actually just recently released a jailbreak for that, which is weird because it came from China and no one really saw it coming.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we can go in more into detail about who does these jailbreaks later, but yeah, I know I downloaded a few of my favorite tweaks and all of a sudden my phone was crashing and I had to uninstall some of them, and turns out they're incompatible with either the operating system or other tweaks I had installed. So it's really kind of it's a hobby that you need to really be passionate about and really like to tinker with your phone and make things look cool and things like that, because the biggest thing about jailbreaking is your phone's not always going to work 100% all the time.
Yeah, you're going to have to battle that a little bit moving forward. Well, and I mean, do you compare jailbreaking to having an Android phone in any way? Because Android has a lot of those you know, tweaks, right? They have a lot of that,
in
that
certain
ability.
Respects, for sure. That is probably Android's biggest selling point. It's a lot more. It's like a jailbroken phone right out of the box. But unfortunately, just like jailbroken phones, this makes it more susceptible to all kinds of attacks and just kind of instability as well. That's the thing I really like about iOS more than anything is how stable it is.
And I suppose, you know, if you use jailbreak tweaks to open those holes, you know, not as many people have their iOS phone jailbroken, which means that there isn't as much of a target on your back.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, when you have Android, you know, people know that a lot of people have Android, so hackers are going to go after people that
have
Android
phones.
The
whole thing with Windows versus Mac.
Yeah.
Not exactly, but I mean, Mac is definitely...
For a long time, it was.
Yeah, for a long time, because a majority of people were using Windows. Hackers didn't really seem to want to hack Macintosh users because of the fact that there was such a small group of people that were using them, and... it's the same way with Android versus iOS.
There's more money to steal on more user base.
Right.
So, well, I guess moving backwards a little bit, maybe go over who makes these jailbreaks.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I haven't been jailbreaking for too long, so I don't know the deep history of it back all the way to, you know, some of the first versions of iOS. But more recently, I know with iOS 7, they had a tweak. Or not a tweak, the entire jailbreak was done by the evaders. It's spelt with a three, instead of the E. Yeah. And the evaders is just a team of hackers and developers. Hackers not in a negative sense of the word, but just kind of people who like to toy around with code and see what they can do. And they all do this for free, which is crazy. So every jailbreak, you should never pay for a jailbreak. If someone's asking for money to jailbreak your phone, it's a scam, or they're trying to rip you off somehow, because jailbreaks have always been free for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's all kind of this volunteer type of thing. It's just people who want to be able to customize their phone, and so they're willing to put in the hours and try and find these little tiny bugs in Apple's operating system for the mobile devices that allow them to kind of infiltrate it and expose some of the more internal components that Apple tries to hide.
Right. It kind of has an open source feel.
Right.
The jailbreak software does.
So what happens is they find these little exploits, and usually they use, you know, three or four of them, and we don't know what they are. I mean, you could probably look it up if you're really knowledgeable about code and stuff like that, but we don't really know what they are. They're just some kind of loophole that allows them to get access to certain files in the operating system. And what happens is Apple, once a jailbreak is released, they pretty quickly patch it. So iOS 7.1, when it came out, patched the jailbreak that was made for iOS 7. And so for the longest time, there was no way that jailbreak users could upgrade to 7.1, which was a huge operating system, so it was really unfortunate. But more recently, this random team from China called Pangu, I think that's how you say it, it's mm-hmm. P-A-N-G-U, they came out with an iOS 7.1 jailbreak and kind of blew apart the entire jailbreak scene because no one was expecting it. They were all thinking, oh, well, they're going to save the exploits they've found for iOS 8 since that's coming so soon. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this Chinese team is just like, oh, yeah, you can jailbreak your 7.1 device now.
I feel like probably someone just kind of stumbled on it.
Yeah.
And just kind of was like, whoa, I can do this. Let's get this out there.
Yeah. So the whole idea was I read a couple articles where the teams actually had a jailbreak that they were sitting on, but they weren't going to release it because they wanted to see if iOS 8 was going to patch them so that they'd have a jailbreak right away for iOS 8, which would be huge for the community.
Yeah, I remember back in iOS 3, when they released 0.1, it was such a big deal. And I remember I was checking like every day for a jailbreak.
I think I was doing that too.
Yeah. Have you guys heard of George Hotz?
Nope.
He's the hacker that first unlocked iPhone. And then he also was the first hacker that did jailbreaking. He started LimeRain. Did you guys?
What's LimeRain?
LimeRain. Yeah, that was one of the initial jailbreaking tools.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first one click. You actually just push it while it's plugged in, and then it would take like 5 seconds.
That's a, what's that called? Untethered, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another huge difference.
That's a big kind of factor also of different jailbreaks, right? Is tethered versus untethered jailbreaks.
Initially, all the jailbreaks were tethered, which meant if you ever wanted to install something or needed to restart your phone, or if your phone died for any reason, your jailbreak would actually disappear. So it was only running if the phone was on. And so you'd have to re-jailbreak every time you needed to restart your phone or it died for any reason, which is extremely frustrating, obviously. So more recently, they've had these untethered jailbreaks where you can still restart your phone and it still is jailbroken from the get-go.
And usually the tethered ones come out before the untethered ones.
Right.
But it's when...
just kind of a quick solution for...
Right, because it's easier to make that happen, but to get mm-hmm. the actual core code to stay that way, to stay in the cracked state when the whole, the whole system restarts and tries to refresh mm-hmm. itself. That's the hard part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's actually amazing to me what the developers can do with jailbreaking. I have no idea how it's done, like how you can comb through pages of code to figure out like what can be exploited to make these jailbreaks possible.
Was it modmyeye? .com or mm-hmm. or jailbreakme. It was jailbreakme.com.
Jailbreakme was the first one to do on-device jailbreaking.
Oh my gosh. And I remember reading about the guy who did it, and he just came out of left field. And he was just a guy that he actually ended up getting hired as an intern for Apple security. Oh,
wow. Yeah, I heard about that.
And he kind of just like came out of left field. He found some bug in the way that Apple downloads PDF files. And he was able to like modify a PDF file to insert this one gateway out to a server to download the jailbreak. And it was like you would just go to modmyeye.com.
Jailbreakme.com.
Jailbreakme.com. You just
I think
go to,
this was iOS 5, I want to say.
Something like that. I remember my dad just walked up to me. He's like, hey, man, give me your phone. I was like, okay, cool. And he opens up Safari, types in jailbreakme.com, hits jailbreak, the button on the screen.
And boom,
City is on my home screen. It's like, oh my gosh, how did you do that? You know, I had been messing around with the jailbreaking on iOS 3 mm-hmm. before that. And I mean, it was just so easy. It was crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, back to kind of what you had mentioned before, how he got that internship over the fact that he was a hacker. That guy that made LimeRain was actually hired by Google like a week ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he made an app that is universally able to root Android phones, which is kind of the jailbreaking of the Android OS. And he actually released an app that made it so that any Android phone can be rooted within like 30 seconds. And he released that like 2 months ago. And about a week ago, he got hired on by Google for Project Zero, which is basically trying to find... they're eventually going to have zero vulnerabilities in Android. And I guess that's kind of their hope, is to make it so that nothing can get through as far as like viruses and things like that. And apparently he's like the main security auditor of the whole team.
Now, I kind of went over my views briefly last episode about Google, but I do kind of want to say that they are doing a pretty good job with kind of trying to unify the entire mm-hmm. operating system as a whole mm-hmm. across all their different devices. And they have that new design language, which is really pretty. And I guess now this Project Zero.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just seems kind of cool that they're doing well on that aspect. It's how they follow me throughout my life. I don't like, but I digress.
Cool stuff.
Do you want to describe some of the cool UI tweaks that you have on your phone?
Sure, yeah.
And then maybe we'll actually post some screenshots
of
what these look like.
I can open Cydia right now and just kind of read through some of the ones I have installed. The top one and the biggest one that I completely forgot to mention, which is a huge reason why people jailbreak, is called Activator. And
that's the one I was thinking of, the customizable one, yeah.
Activator is probably one of the biggest jailbreak tweaks that's available.
Extremely powerful.
Yeah, and how powerful it is. What it allows you to do is, it's basically like you can take any input of any action on your phone, be it pressing a button, turning on Wi-Fi, changing a song, whatever, and any output similarly, and kind of assign the two together. So it's really good if you have a broken button, actually, because you can...
Right.
You can assign, you know, the sleep button to be when you press both the volume buttons at the same time, or when you, you know, double tap on the screen or something like that. So it's really, really cool. You can set up gestures to do whatever you want, including now it even has Siri built into it. So you can assign customizable things to say to Siri that aren't necessarily done by Apple.
Wow, that's a lot of changes since I used it.
Yeah,
it's way more robust.
So much. It's so cool. There's been
so like what do you have Activator doing on your phone?
I just installed the 7.1 jailbreak, so I really haven't messed with Activator a whole lot, but some things that I've found really helpful are, like, for example, changing a song when it's in your pocket. I uh-huh. have it set to where you press both the volume buttons at the same time, and that changes the song.
So you don't have to scramble and look at your screen.
Exactly. You can just press it in your pocket. There's a few other ideas, like, you know, you can double tap the clock in the lock screen to do something. You can slide left or right on the status bar. You can, in the home screen, slide from different corners to activate mm-hmm. things. It's really awesome. There's also a Touch ID built into it now, too.
Oh, really?
So okay. You can have...
Wow.
You can even choose which finger. So say you activate your phone with one finger.
Oh, my gosh.
It can be like, if I use my right pointer finger for this, then I want you to, you know, do whatever you want to do. I mean, just looking through here, there's like you can activate a quick compose for a new text message. Anything with audio, play, pause, next, previous, volume up, volume down. Take a picture. You can assign anything to take a picture. Lock
That's
the
creepy.
Screen. Yeah. It's honestly, it's like fully makes your phone customizable, and really you can change anything to do whatever you want. You can change like how it works too. You can change that you don't have to long hold the home button to activate Siri. It can be, you know, tapping somewhere or holding a different button, or it just allows you to really do whatever you want with your phone. So that's a huge one that everyone is raving about. It mm-hmm. works with a ton. It's compatible with almost everything. Really, really cool tweak. Another one is Apex, Apex 2 specifically. And what Apex does is allows you to hide applications behind other applications, kind of like a folder, but you swipe up or down on one of the icons on your home screen. And I mean, you can see it right here. Maybe we can include a video of this or a picture at least, but you slide up or down and instantly out pops kind of related applications that you can set up. So for example, I swipe on my Instagram application and up pops a couple different photo editing apps that I use for Instagram. So
like what he's doing is he's putting his thumb down onto Instagram as if he's going to open it, but then swipes off of Instagram.
Up or down.
Up yep. or down.
And it kind of fans out yeah. into this little view of these applications.
It's pretty sweet. It's pretty sweet looking.
Yeah. It's really cool. Or I use Spotify as a default for my music. So I have the music app itself and SoundCloud and Shazam all hidden behind it. So I just quickly swipe up and I get all my music apps. Yeah, it's just a cool replacement for folders. Looks a lot better.
Uh-huh.
Really cool user interface for it. Couple other ones would be, let's see here. I already talked about the one that's allows you to lock certain applications and use your Touch ID.
Right.
That one's called Asphalia. Byte SMS allows you to reply yep. from anywhere. When a text comes in, you just click it and up pops a keyboard. Don't have to move apps or anything like that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention earlier, is that Byte SMS was one of the ones that kind of gave Apple the idea to do that quick reply on iOS 8.
That's right. Yeah, right. That's another feature.
Because now on iOS 8, when a banner pops down, you just kind of grab it and drag it down. And then a keyboard pops up over whatever you're doing. And then the same on the lock screen. Instead of swiping to the right, you swipe to the left, and then a little button pops up that says reply. And then you click that, and again, keyboard pops up. But the Byte SMS was very similar
or was function, kind of yeah. before. And a lot of other enhancements to the messages. Right. Another one I use is after you hit send, it'll wait a second to send it and display a little stop button. So if you realize a typo at the last second, you can quickly stop it before it goes. Because we've all had those awkward moments where something autocorrects and you did not want that to go through. A couple other ones.
Ducking iPhones.
There's some ones for the control center that allow you to customize the toggles you have available. So instead of just the standard airplane mode, Wi-Fi, whatever, you can add like toggle vibration, location, data LTE, buttons to restart your phone, shortcuts in the bottom for different apps.
And that's by, it just kind of adds a page. Right?
Yeah, you can swipe between pages on them. Another one is Flux. Flux is used kind of all across the board on Macs and things like that too. And Flux warms your colors of your phone at night to make it less, or just a little bit easier on the eyes.
That's awesome.
Does it use the light sensor built into the phone?
Yeah, well, it doesn't use the light sensor, but it detects when it's nighttime or when you're in a... Yeah, I think maybe it does use the ambient light detection, but yeah, normally what it does is when it's nighttime, so you're kind of in this whole nighttime...
It's a little bit more context aware, kind of like...
Exactly, yeah. So you can set it up to, at a specific time, change, but all it does is... You know how there's kind of a blue glow from phones? If you're in, say you're in an auditorium or a movie or something, you see someone's phone that's like this bright blue glow and bluish white on their face. What it does is it kind of adds more warmer colors,
like
more
yellowish.
Oranges and yellowies, instead of that harsh whitish bluish tone, which really it helps your eyes a lot without kind of reducing the ability for you to see the screen, so you can kind of see.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
We'll post pictures of the differences there. That's really nice.
It's really cool.
Is it possible to post that or?
We're gonna post it onto the TD Curran blog page.
Is there a way to post that? Is it a screen based or a software based change in the color?
That's a good question. We can always take pictures of it with a real camera, I suppose. Yeah. I'm not sure if it affects screenshots or not. I'll have to look into that. Another really cool one is, you know how the Samsung phones, they have that thing where you wave over your phone to answer it.
Yeah.
If your hands are dirty, that was a huge thing. They're like, I can't use my iPhone because I'm, baking cookies or whatever. That's another jailbreak tweak that's available. Swipe in front of your screen without touching in, and it answers the call and speakerphone. which is really sweet. iFile allows you to browse your entire phone just like Finder does on the Mac.
Yeah, that's been around since like iOS 1.
Yep, lots of different ones. I have a couple different themes installed that I kind of vary between, change it up. The last one I'd probably should mention is Zeppelin, which is super simple. It just replaces your carrier, so Verizon or AT&T, with the symbol of your choice. So
I think it was like a 15-year-old kid came out with that.
Yeah, really young developer, if I remember correctly. But yeah, I had the Batman logo for a while. Uh-huh. Now I have the Nike sign. Yep. They have Pac-Man eating your little cell signal dots, all kinds of stuff. It's really, really awesome.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah, that's about all I got. I mean, I used to have a lot more. I kind of cut back because sometimes if you have too many tweaks installed, it can slow your phone down a tiny bit. But I really haven't noticed a difference speed-wise recently since I kind of cut back on how many I have installed.
Yeah. Wow. We're kind of running out of time here. So any kind of last thoughts on jailbreaks and recommendations
I know I'm going to be getting the jailbreak as soon as I get my new iPhone. That's going to be one of the first things just because of the fact that...
Yeah, we'll see how fast the iOS 8 one comes out because usually it does take them a little bit to get them out. I guess the biggest thing to emphasize is that, we don't necessarily condone jailbreaking from a sense of that we're an authorized Apple store, but at the same time... Just letting you know that it's out there. It's safe for the most part unless you install something.
So do be careful.
Yeah. I mean, the jailbreak itself is not going to hurt your phone. It's free. It's safe. You can always reset your phone back to factory settings. There's never a way that it'll permanently hurt your phone. It's 100% legal now. So it really, there's a lot of misconceptions about it out there that make it seem a lot worse and a lot...
Right.
More illegal, I guess, than it really is.
Well, for a while it was, right?
That's true, yeah. So pre-2010, it not only voided the warranty, but technically it was illegal for you to do it. But now, yeah, the U.S. completely passed this law that dictates that you're allowed to modify the software on any mobile device to your liking. That doesn't mean Apple... if you do walk into an Apple store or even our service center and your phone is jailbroken, technically... We can't perform a service on it just because it is a modification of the phone itself. But if you restore your phone, then really you can never tell that it ever happened. It doesn't affect the hardware at all or anything like that.
Right.
Another cool trick is if your phone is jailbroken and you want it to just boot up in regular mode, you can just hold the volume up button. And it'll boot with all the tweaks and everything you have installed disabled until you restart it again.
Really?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they just added that, I think, probably iOS 6 or 7.
Yeah, but
yeah, which is really cool because then you don't have to, you can still, if you're like showing someone something and you don't really want them asking all these questions about why your phone looks different or something like that, or you just want to test your phone with something... And you don't want any tweaks interfering with it or anything like that, then yeah, they have it all built in. And also, last thing to mention, there's safe mode too. Okay. So if a tweak is broken or if it is crashing something on your phone won't just completely shut down and stop working. It'll kind of
that's right, yeah.
It'll restart into this mode where a lot of things are disabled, all the tweaks that you have. It's a really fun thing to do. I mean, it's just kind of a hobby of mine to kind of make my phone look a little bit different from all the rest, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's called safe mode. And that just really helps you. It still gives you access to Cydia so you can uninstall whatever the culprit is.
Right.
But yeah. So, I mean, jailbreaking, it's a lot of fun. It's just a really cool hobby.
Yeah. For the record, I would have done the Pangu jailbreak, but I am running the iOS 8 beta,
which is very cool.
Yeah, it does not work. Well, cool. Well, I guess we're going to wrap it up here. So I just want to, send some thanks out to various people. Thank you to Ashkan Jalali, who's our PR director, for, kind of helping us through this and, letting us do this.
He's the man.
It's very fun. Thank you to Ali Valland, the general manager. You're back from your vacation. I hope you had fun. And I sent you an email about my time clock this morning, this afternoon. So thank you for that. Mr. David Martin, he's our own manager over at Kirkland, for kind of just being around and helping us with all our questions. You guys, thanks, George. Thank you, Austin, for joining us this time.
Yeah, of course, anytime.
Hopefully we'll have you back soon because this has been really good.
Definitely.
Lots of good design tweaks and you have good taste, I'd say.
Well, thank you.
Thank you to all of our other coworkers at TD Curran.
Which is now Chris.
Chris, yes. but also throughout the rest of the company.
And of course.
All our other locations and stuff. I haven't met a lot of you, so I'd love to.
Yeah, stop by the store. Don't just listen online. literally, we're around. We love to help. We love to talk to you guys about, you know, whatever is going on Apple-wise mm-hmm. in your life and see if we can, help you solve some problems.
Right. Anybody else in the company wants to sit in here too, that'd be great. And of course, always Mr. Troy Douglas Curran himself, for giving everyone I work with a job. if you guys, anybody, the listeners have any questions or thoughts, any kind of ideas for next further episodes, please do email us at commandtab@tdcurran.com. That is now an active email. We can also follow us at commandtabpod on Twitter. Do you want to shout out your Twitter handles or online handles?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Austin Carney, Carney. You can always email me at austinc@tdcurran.com if you want to, if you have a question about, you know, jailbreak scene or really anything Apple related at all. Other than that, I mean, there's a lot of communities online if you're really interested in the jailbreaking type of thing.
Yeah, you mentioned the Reddit.
Yeah, Reddit.com/r/jailbreak. That's a great one. iDownloadBlog.com mm-hmm. is another great resource. Yep. Yeah.
And Mr. George, your Twitter handle?
At Curious Yurik. And we're also trying to get our YouTube off the ground at Command Tab Podcast. Or the channel's name is just Command Tab. Today we released a ridiculous video that you guys should definitely check out. And hopefully tomorrow, or at least by the end of the week, we'll have another video up for you guys.
Yeah, maybe by the time this airs, we will have it up. Yeah. So cool. Well, I'm Ben Hutmaker. You can find me at Ben, H-E-U-T, Maker on Twitter. And you've been listening to Command Tab. It's our TD Curran's weekly podcast about Apple and everything about Apple. So thank you so much, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
All right. See you later.
Bye-bye.